Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm Bruce McCurdy of the Cult of Hockey, flying solo tonight as my usual cohort, David Staples, is busy coaching his one of his Pee Wee teams. He coaches two teams, Pee Wee girls, Pee Wee boys, his son and daughter, youngest of each. And I hope his team had more success tonight than our team, the Edmonton Oilers, who went down to fairly ignominious defeat, 6-3 at the hands of the Vegas Golden Knights, defending Western Conference champions, who have been struggling this year, but you would never know it based on the way they handled Oilers tonight. This is a movie we've seen too often, especially lately. The Oilers have now lost 6 of their last 7 games in regulation. So they just have 2 points to show for 7 games, which is death in this league. You've got to muster at least the odd point here and there, even when you're struggling. And yet, all 6 of those losses have come by 2 or more goals. So, not good. The Oilers continue to have a very iffy record on national TV, and they marked that fact by getting doubled 4-2 on Hockey Night in Canada last night in Calgary, and getting doubled 6-3 on hometown hockey on Sunday night in Edmonton. And so there's another lost weekend, 5-4, 10 against, 0 standings points, and a whole lot of frustration and building. I don't know if it's apathy, or it's certainly concern that we've seen this movie so many times before that it's hard to be optimistic at this moment in time. And at the same time, you have to wonder if on what kind of firm footing is the coaching staff and really the brain trust of the Oilers if once again they have a team that just is struggling to compete in the National Hockey League, even with the gifts that they have at the top of the roster. Anyways, I'm going to quickly go through the good, very quickly through the good, the bad and the numbers, 2 of each. I'll choose for myself and for David tonight in his absence. So let's start with the good, and let's start with the real good. And that happened before a puck was dropped in earnest. This was probably the best time of the game for Oilers fans and hockey fans generally. The hockey fights cancer in the pregame show. I'm reaching for good stuff here, but that was good stuff. And the young gal who was an Oilers fan who was fighting through her own cancer, that kind of stuff's real inspirational, and it's good to see the NHL does do a pretty decent job of taking the lead on some of these social issues, be they medical, like hockey fights cancer, or let's play, or there's a variety of things, and good on them and good on her. I hope the young lady enjoyed the game. The other good, well, the 3 Edmonton goals, you know, they all had things going on. They were scored by Edmonton's 3 only goal scorers, it seems like. Give or take Drake Kajula, I guess. We had Connor McDavid scoring his 12th of the season in the first minute of play on an unreal deflection, where he took the puck out of the air off the top inside of his stick, pulled it down off the ice, bounced it over a scrambling Marc-Andre Fleury's pad off the post and in. That was pretty close to an unstoppable deflection. And this old goalie felt a little twinge for Marc-Andre there, but not too much. Sometimes you just tip your hat to the other guy, and sometimes the other guy tips the puck, and that's what happened on this one. Second goal, good old Alex Chiasson. Man, that guy's playing good. First of all, he drew the penalty that led to the power play. Then he had 2 chances himself on the power play, and he made two nice passes into the slot, one of which resulted in a shot, and the second one which resulted, well, they both resulted in shots. And the second time, the shot came back towards him at the edge of the crease, and he picked it up and stuffed her home from the net front position. And, you know, I'm not sure Alex Chiasson didn't do more in that one power play from that net front position than we've seen from the previous occupant of that position over a large number of games this season. Screening the goalie, passing the puck out, getting chances and shots himself, putting it in the net. You know, all those things are good things. That's what you want that guy to be for, is to clean up the garbage around the crease. And Chiasson did that. He's now up to 8 on the year. And then the last goal, Leon Draisaitl using McDavid as a decoy and pulling up, letting the defender do the snow angel in front of him, taking his time and just rifling a perfect shot. High blocker on Fleury to close out the scoring. And I think my favorite part of that goal was the close-up of Draisaitl on the bench. Just having scored, should be happy goal scorer, right? Wrong. He was seething on the bench. He slammed his fist on the top of the boards. And, you know, I like to see that. You know, that if you're scoring and losing and they're happy, then something's wrong. And if they're losing, they should be unhappy whether they're scoring or not. And that was the signal I got from Big Leon there. And you know, he's been playing pretty well the last while. Still has some issues defensively. But, boy, is he making stuff happen in the offensive end. And such elite skills the guy has here. It made some very pretty plays tonight. Anyway, that's it for the good. As for the bad, well, tonight it was, every night is something different, but tonight it was the starts to the second and third period. After a pretty good start to the game, scoring early, taking a 2-1 lead to the first intermission, out shooting the Vegans 10-6 in the opening frame. But Vegas came out early in the second. The Oilers got a power play right away, had a chance to build their lead, couldn't cash, and then the second unit had an egregious sequence. Where they had trouble clearing the puck. Matt Benning made a bad pass in Drake Kajula's skates. Kajula couldn't handle the pass. Vegas came in on the counterattack. The shot got through, I think it was Benning's skates. Beat Talbot off the post and in. Shorty against them. Just like that, it's 2-2, and any control Edmonton had over the game was gone right there, and gone for good within 2 minutes and 12 seconds when the Vegans piled on an even strength goal and then a power play goal of their own. And they just went wham, wham, wham. And all of a sudden it was 4-2 and Edmonton was skating uphill for the rest of the night. And really the garbage time started pretty early tonight. It was pretty clear Edmonton didn't have a lot left in the tank after last night's depressing, really. 4-2 loss in Calgary, where they let a 2-0 lead get away from them, and they expended a lot of energy, came away with nothing, and that's what they've got to show for their entire weekend. And again, third period, out 4-2. Of course, the announcer's saying Edmonton needs an early goal to get back in the game. Well, 34 seconds, wham, 5-2, and then it really was over. And another one at the 3-minute mark. That closed out the Vegas scoring in 5 in a row for Vegas. This after giving up 4 in a row to Calgary last night. So Oilers struggling defensively. And the other bad thing is more of a bigger picture item. This is Edmonton's record in November. And this year, they started out 6-3-1. And they lost their last game in overtime in October, won their first two in November, but since then, of course, 1 win, 6 losses. So they're 3-6-0 in November this year. This after going 7-8-1 in November last year, 5-8-2 in their good year, 2016-17, and 4-7-2 in the 2015-16 season. So that's now 4 years under head coach Todd McClellan. And the Oilers' November record is 19 wins out of 53 games. And it just puts them in a hole or buries them, depending on how big of a hole they're in to start the month each year. Now, this year, fortunately, they had a little bit of padding. Well, that's all gone now. But they're still not too far out of it. 4 points, I believe, 3 points out of the third playoff spot in the Pacific Division. But really only 1 or 2 points ahead of every team in the West except for Los Angeles Kings, who are stragglers this year. And all the other teams are in the pack, and the Oilers are near the bottom of that pack. So that's kind of depressing. And it's clear, really. I mean, my wife said after the game that the Oilers just didn't have they've been relying so much on the core group of players, and that's really 6 or 7 guys, 3 big-minute forwards, 3 big-minute defensemen, plus Chris Russell, who's played certainly some big minutes, and Talbot himself, the goalie. And they've got they expend a lot of energy to get off to that early start, and it seems like they've kind of hit the trough together a little bit this last while. And I guess it was predictable, but whether that's on the coach for overusing the players or on the GM for not having enough depth and good players further down the lineup, well, you follow your belief system and I'll follow mine and say it's something of both. So so that's our two bad things. And then, oh yeah, let's get into the numbers now, our two numbers for tonight. And these are also bad things. This will not surprise you. One of them, we have to look at poor Cam Talbot, who is just stuck on 99 wins. I keep talking about Talbot going for his 100th win as an Oiler, and they've been talking about it for 5 games now, and he's lost every one of those games, and he's lost them all in regulation. And in those 5 games, he's been lit up to the tune of 20 goals, an average of 4 a game, actually an average of 463 goals against average when you take into account that he was pulled partway through one of those games and usually on the bench for an extra attacker with a couple minutes left in a couple of the other games. Anyway, that's an 845 save percentage, 845, with 4 of the 5 games being well down below the 900 level. That is borderline acceptable in the NHL. And Talbot, I mean, I'm an old goalie. I feel for Talbot tonight. Like, there was 2 goals that went in where the guy came in off the wing on his forehand, fired an absolute laser that went between the defenseman's skates, off the post, and in. And sometimes you just have to tip your hat to the other guy for making the shot. But you know what? They seem to all be making all of their shots these days. Like, where are the big saves? I looked down at the other end, and the Oilers got a couple of bounces maybe on their goals, and they managed to stick a couple past Fleury. But guess what? Fleury came up with a few big saves. A couple of very, very nice saves. Great glove save he made at one point where he stopped a point-blank shot. And when you look at the game, the shots were 32-31. The preliminary scoring chances, I had them at 10-10 for grade A scoring chances for each team. It really was, judging by the opportunities, a fairly even game. And yet it was a blowout because their goalie got more saves than our goalie. And like I say, I feel for Talbot. I'm not sure how much chance he had on any of the games, any of the goals, but where are the saves? Like, NHL goalies stop sometimes. They stop what appear to be sure goals or very high percentage chances. And Oilers are just not getting that from Cam Talbot at this point. You know, they zeroed in on him time to time throughout the game, and the poor guy looks like a deer in the headlights right now. It's like he's trying to figure out what's going on. And every time, like I say, the other team gets a look, they make either a perfect shot or it hits somebody and bounces in, like that one that went off Matt Benning. But come on. Anyway, the net minding is a big part of the problem in Edmonton, and it's just too many games where the better netminder of the two is at the other end of the ice. So that's that. Now, the other bad thing I'm just going to pick on tonight, the fourth line, and I'm particularly going to pick on Zach Cassian because it's not last night, just tonight, but it's last night and tonight. He played 2 games this weekend, Cassian. He played with completely different line mates because last night he moved up the line up to the second line, played with Nuge and Ryan Spooner for a chunk of the game. Last night he played 9 minutes 27 seconds at evens. Tonight he played 11 minutes and 47 seconds. So that's over the two nights, 21 minutes and change. Like, basically one full period of hockey where Zach Cassian was on the ice 5-on-5. And in those 21 minutes, the other team had 14 shots on net, and the Edmonton Oilers had zero shots, not a single shot in two games, 0-4-7 against versus Calgary, 0-4-7 against versus Vegas. So I guess points for consistency. But man, oh man, you look at the chart tonight, the event summary that I pull off after every game, and Cassian has the rare clean sheet. He played, including a little bit of time on special teams, 12 minutes and 40 seconds, 0 points, 0 penalties tonight, so I guess that's a good thing. 0 shots or shot attempts, 0 hits, 0 hits, Zach. 0 giveaways or takeaways, 0 block shots, no face-offs. Like, there's nothing. It's like he wasn't even there. Other than you look at what happened when he was on the ice and the play was, the ice was tilted heavily towards Edmonton's end. He did get one chance where the puck came to him and looked like he was going to get a decent chance, and he fumbled it and puck bounced off his stick and wound up turning into nothing. But, you know, between the, over the two nights, in addition to those awful, atrocious shot counts, Cassian himself had 0 shots in either game, needless to say. 1 hit between the two games, and the 26 penalty minutes that Matthew Tkachuk suckered him into taking in Calgary last night, 3 minors and 2 misconducts. And sometimes I despair about this player. Like, he has his games and he looks good and he's engaged. He certainly can skate. He certainly hits. He's got some edginess. There's, you know, lots, you can see why he got drafted high. Like, there's lots of raw things there, but he's closing in on 28 years old. And there's no apparent sign of the guy putting it together. And the whole fourth line, Brodziak, Kara, and Cassian got smoked tonight, mostly by the fourth line of Vegas. I mean, Cassian played about 8 of his minutes against William Carrier, not exactly a household name in the NHL, and yet during the time they were both on the ice together, the shots were 5-0 Vegas, for example. It was just their fourth line, owned Edmonton's fourth line. And the problem of lack of depth in and through the Edmonton lineup, the bottom six has got to hold its own out there. And by holding its own, I don't mean hanging on for dear life with the play in their own end with turnovers and open lanes and failures to clear the zone and nothing positive going north at all. It's just not good enough. And the same line, the same three players actually had a couple of decent games maybe a week ago, but you got to bring that game more often than occasionally when you're at the bottom of the roster. Counting on that line to do, not necessarily score goals, but to hold their own, especially against the other team's fourth line, to bring the physicality a little bit, to make the game interesting in a good way without being scary when they're out there. But right now, the depth players in Peter Chiarelli's 2018-19 Edmonton Oilers are leaving a little bit to be desired, and the top players are showing the signs of wear and tear, and it's a pretty ugly time for fans of the team yet again as we struggle through another difficult November. So with that, I don't know that I've got a whole lot more positive to say. They go on a 3-game California road trip against struggling teams in California, which is, like, I think the best thing I heard all year to this point was this, when I heard on Hockey Night in Canada that both Anaheim and Los Angeles are beginning a rebuilding program. About time. Those guys have been killing us for years. But I'm not sure the Oilers are a much better position to take them out on this road trip unless something changes. And who knows? Something big could happen really any day at this point. Somebody might get impatient and let's see what happens. For now, I'll make no predictions other than stay tuned. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Wish we had a better game to talk about, but so it is. In the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey Podcast. podcast. Thanks for listening.